Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We are in love with you. We are so thankful for everything that your Son did throughout eternity, history, and redemption. At the cross, through the cross, and past the cross. Now, I know there's a few people in here who are carrying some burdens. I can see them in the room. I'm not looking at you personally. I'm just seeing backpacks and burdens. And, you know, Holly and I were parked in the car a few minutes ahead of time, and, you know, we were talking about the importance of praying in tongues and how oftentimes that brings a victory when we don't even know it. And I feel like anybody who has a burden, you know, to me, sometimes burdens, they sneak up on you and you don't even know that you're carrying, you know, one of your kids' problems or a bill that you don't know how you're going to pay or how you're going to fill your gas tank or how you're going to make rent or, you know, decisions, life decisions, and frustration. When's it going to change? How are things going to move forward? You know, I really feel like we should pray in tongues for a few minutes. We don't have to say what our personal burdens are. I don't want to hear them out loud, but I really feel like we need to release them into the Father's arms. And if you can't do that because you don't know the Father, that's okay. Release them to the foot of the cross where Jesus, you know, did the great exchange. And so how this is going to work is if you've got a burden, a frustration, a sickness, a disease, somebody that you've been carrying in the spirit or a family member that you just don't know what to do with, you know, let's just take them as a package. Let's package it up and present it. Let's just release it at the cross and say, Jesus, I don't know how to handle this. I've done all I can do, but I'm releasing this burden to you. You do with it as you will. Resurrect it, kill it, I don't care. You do. I'm giving this to you because you say that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and I don't want to have a heavy yoke and a heavy burden, and so I'm yoking with you, Jesus. And I'm taking on your easiness of it all. And so let's just do that and put it at the cross. And then let's pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. And let's let God be God, okay? And let's not try to figure it out in the natural. Let's just do a supernatural move here and release the burden or the trial or the condition. Ke shoko bandale bakorito so ko 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 ko. Shele bandale bakierito si ti 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 ti. Yeah, it's important to pray in tongues. You know, sometimes we think, oh, there's no benefit. I don't see any benefit. Well, I could feel the benefit in the room just with everybody praying, you know. And so don't let the enemy tell you that it doesn't work or it's ineffective or it's not for you, because it's one of the most powerful tools that is in our arsenal that the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us gave us. And so if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, see John at the end of the service, and we'll get you filled up and overflowing. Amen? Okay, so who was here last week? A couple people. Okay, I mean, you have to move. Okay, so you came back. Why'd you come back? There was a trailer. Yeah, it's an ongoing one, too, let me tell you. So for those of you who weren't here, let me just say, at the end, we were testifying about, well, the glory that fell in Grand Junction and the waves of his glory. And, you know, when we talk about his glory, many people have never experienced his glory. And so they just think, oh, his glory. But it is such a weighty, holy, intimate, wonderful time. It's like everything stops. Like everything else stops. You forget about time. You don't even think about going to the bathroom. You don't think about food. You don't think about your list. It's like his. And then what happens to me is I just want to cry because of his goodness. And it's a connection of the heart to the spirit, but it overflows with this explosion of everything. everything, like revelation, I mean, everything. It just, and you think, oh, this is going to be it forever. And it, you know, but it was waves. And so, you know, we had been praying about Grand Junction. Well, we've been praying about the conferences in Colorado. We came back a couple weeks ago. But what was interesting is a lot is going on in the spirit. And I feel like I'm supposed to address some of it. And so I don't really have a message. I just have a message. You know, it's like, you know, here's a piece of it right here, you know, from a couple weeks ago that he gave me. But I feel like I need to help us directionally, like position ourselves so we don't miss what's happening now, because many of us are so comfortable of the way it is. We're used to it always being this way, but things have changed dramatically in the spiritual realm. And it's like there's not a fork in the road anymore. It's like we turned and you can't see around the corner. And it's a good thing. But some people are so bound to their natural earthly circumstances that they're just busy in their natural circumstances. And then I think about the, you know, the 10 virgins with the oil, and how, you know, when the bridegroom comes, the oil has to be filled. And I don't want one of you or myself to be going knocking at my neighbor's door. I need oil, you know. And so, excuse me, I got to get a drink of water. So I think I'm trying to come to terms with what's going on. And I think the easiest thing to say is, I had a dream when we were in Colorado, or before we left, I can't remember. But Janet had pretty much the same dream. So in the dream, I was on this beautiful resort, like, and it was, it reminded me of like Texas or something. It was kind of dry and arid, but it could have been California, it could have been Colorado, I don't know. There were no camels, that I will tell you. So in the dream, it was this huge complex, and it reminded me of like a vineyard, you know, and there were many workers on the grounds, and there was a whole row of rooms, bedrooms and stuff. And have you ever been to a fancy hotel and everything's immaculate and you never see the workers? It's like they do it when we're sleeping or something. I don't know how that works. Well, that's how it was. Everything was done to such excellence, but you never saw the workers. Now, I saw the workers, but there weren't other people there. I was in the building while the workers were there. And the workers, now, don't take offense to this, because it's not a racial thing. The workers were dark. And when they're dark, that usually means they're not of God. Now, I'm not talking skin color. I'm talking dark, like just dark. And so in the dream, and I would talk, you know, like, hello, polite to these workers. And in the distance, I could see men dressed in black and white. Now, they weren't ICE agents, but they reminded me of that. You know, they were coming, and they were almost, they were so physically fit. They reminded me of, like, martial arts people who were so fine-tuned, not a fat cell in their body. You know, they were all muscle. And they were going from area to area, and they were checking papers. And if you didn't have the papers, you were taken away. And on this complex that I was at, one of the workers, he was a sweet man, very sweet and kind man. He came up to me and said, they're coming. I need you to sign my paper. But I knew he wasn't a citizen. I knew he was a worker, but he wasn't. It was, his citizenship wasn't in this land, in this property. And I said, I can't sign that. And I felt bad for a millisecond because I just couldn't compromise. Hear the word compromise. And so I said, I'm sorry, I can't sign that. And as fast as I said that, he walked away, and immediately all the workers were gone. They left before the black and white, no more gray, black and white, people checking papers to see if you are part of the kingdom. And I said, oh my gosh, they all left. They just like disappeared like little cockroaches almost. They just left so quickly, you know. And I went to tell Holly that, and I said, Holly, all the workers have left. And this place was so large, and it had like terracotta, you know, big, huge place. And it had a basement in it. Now, some of you might remember Lakehurst Mall. I don't know if it has a basement, but this is the parable. It was like, it was as big as Lakehurst Mall. And so I went down in the basement, and the basement was spotless, just immaculate. And I don't know why I went down there, but I went down there, and I was shocked to see water on the floor. And there were a few fish coming in. And I thought, that's not right. And I walked over to the sump pump, which was on the other side of the building, so huge walk, and I saw that it was unplugged. And I thought, they tried to sabotage. They wanted to flood this building out. And I looked, and there were ponds on the outside, and they had opened a valve that was supposed to only go out, and somehow they had it come in, so that fish were coming and they were going to flood. Now, if I didn't notice that, it would have caused damage to the building and the structure, and it would have been a slow damage and a dream. And I'm thinking, what is that about? You know, and I was praying about it, and you can try to figure it out in the natural, but you won't get it. And I knew it didn't represent our ministry. You know, so I'm like, is this the body of Christ? You know, what does it really represent? And then Janet had a dream, and it was very similar, and I don't even remember. Do you remember her dream exactly? Okay.
Well, it's not obvious, but in hers, her mother, okay, in dreams, mom, your mother's usually the church, usually.
Yeah.
Her mother was very sad, like, things are over. It's about, you know, things are going downhill from here. And then I can't remember, I think Janet said to her mother, Mom, don't worry, Dad's about to sing the national anthem. In other words, like, it's not going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
And so we were praying about it because we're like, what's going on here? And as we went into Grand Junction, you know, we realized a couple, well, I realized a couple things. One, the enemy has infiltrated the church, well, pretty much a lot of places, schools, governments, all of it. The enemy has infiltrated families, homes, and the black and white agents are coming. And you're either in or you're not. You either have papers that say, I belong to Jesus Christ, or you're a counterfeit. And the counterfeits are being called out right now. And man is not doing this. The Lord is doing this. He's looking to clean his house. We've heard that 3 or 4 years ago. He's sweeping. Then we heard last year, maybe the year before that, it's in the pews. It's not only the leaders. Now he's going after the individuals who have hidden sin in their life that they need to deal with. And in my life, I had some too I had to deal with. And here's the thing. I'd rather deal with it privately than be exposed publicly. And sometimes my sin, I don't know is sin. You know, some of it I think is the way I was raised or you know, because if you don't know right from wrong, how are you going to know if that's sin or not? You know, because sometimes if it's so embedded in you, you won't feel the conviction. Other times you will. And in my case, it was attitudes. You know, you get rid of the big ones, but then it's attitudes of the heart and judgments in the heart. And so one thing I know is anytime I get clobbered by the enemy, it is not because God is teaching me a lesson. It is because I'm doing something stupid and the enemy is taking advantage of the situation. Now, I can run back into the covering of God and like in Psalm 91 and be protected. I don't want to go outside of the covering of God, but sometimes I stray out of stupidity or out of, you know, automatic programming, you know. And so I know this is all over the place, but I feel like the Lord is trying to wake us up to the greater things that he has planned for each and every one of us, whether we want it or not. He wants us to have it. And in my case, you know, we were getting ready to go to Colorado, and this great deal came up on Facebook Marketplace that I could not resist. And ding, ding, ding. You know, I bit the fish. I mean, I bit the hook, and I got whacked like you wouldn't believe. And so I'm saying that because I feel like God is challenging us to pay attention to that still, still, still small voice. And some of us are running so fast, we don't even know there is a still small voice. Others of us hear it, but we think, I'll do it later. I'll get to it next time. Or it didn't bother me this time, so I'm really going to work on that next week, God. And then next week comes and we're like, what were we going to work on? Yeah. You know, I'm just talking to myself right here. And so in my case, I went to go get this awesome cabinet. I don't know how much it weighed, but it weighed more than I did. I know that. And when I went to get it, it ended up, I was pulling up a trailer, and my legs gave way. And so the cabinet came down and crushed me, and my knees buckled, and I went to the ground. And supernaturally, I don't know how this happened. It had to be angels. I didn't see them, but I sprung back up. But when I did, I heard this terrible sound inside my back, and I was severely injured. And I, you know, it was such a demonic setup that I fell for. I'm almost embarrassed to say it. But here's the thing. I have no secrets and I have no shame. If you keep a secret, shame comes. And I've learned, I tell everything all the time, because if it helps somebody else not do the stupid thing that I did, or if it helps somebody else release shame that they're holding for years because the enemy tricked them, and now they're tricked in the bondage of, you can't tell anybody. You know, and I think that's what happens a lot of times, is we get tricked by stupid stuff, or it looks good, and then we bite the apple and it's not good, and then we're in this bondage or underneath this oppression, and we don't know how to get out. And then the enemy's saying, you call yourself a good Christian? How, you can't tell anybody. This is a bad one. You have to keep it a secret. And see, the enemy likes secrets. And let me tell you, I was tempted not to testify for 30 seconds. But I had to process it. And so we're supposed to leave for Colorado. The team's coming over to load the truck. And the truck is like got this heavy cabinet that we can't move. And I need to go seek medical attention. If I would have called an ambulance, they would have taken me to the hospital. And I would have had surgery. And I would have a turtle shell on today. I'm telling you the truth. And so I'm praying in tongues. And I'm commanding and believing. And the pain is so, so horrible. I don't think I've ever experienced pain like that. And I couldn't walk. And so I had to like get into the truck and drive an hour and a half home and then call Holly and let her know that I got injured and that I was going to go see, you guys probably know Norma Jean. And if you don't, she's a chiropractor. And I was like, I'm going to Norma Jean's, because I was like, I'm not going to Colorado. This is an attack and I'm not giving in. Although everything in the natural looked really bad, and it was, I was like frustrated with myself because I bit the apple. You know, I knew it. You know, once you bite it and it's spoiled and you know it and you're tricked, it's like, oh, I can't believe I fell for that. And so, you know, I repented to the Lord right away. And, you know, Holly had to drive me over to drop me off. And I couldn't walk, you guys. I'm not kidding. I could not walk. And I get in there. And she's not ready for me. She's upstairs. It turns out she fell asleep. So I'm like ready to walk home because I'm crabby and I can't walk though. And so, but all of a sudden, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, it was the most amazing thing. All of a sudden, I felt the prayers of the saints. And it did this thing to me where I'm like, oh, I'm supernatural. Oh, this isn't part of my covenant. Oh. And so I found my way of peace. See, in the physical, you can't find peace when your body's in trauma, but in the spirit realm, you can connect in peace and oftentimes get your healing, you know, just by pressing in. And so in my case, I was believing for healing, but I was also, I had fear. You know, I had real fear because I heard this sound I never heard before in my body. And it was, you know, a not a good sound. And one of the amazing things is when I was laying on the table, and she was working on me. She was doing all these like needly, acu stuff with shocky stuff. And you know, I'm just like, you know, panting like a dog, you know, to be honest with you, and trying to get through it. And Here's what she kept saying. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And, I needed to hear that. And normally I don't need to hear that. And I think she was speaking by the Holy Ghost to comfort me, which was bizarrely cool. And so I started to relax, and my body started to feel okay. And but then I had to flip over. And that was not okay. And instantly fear came back, because I'm like, oh my gosh, all this pain is back. I'm not healed. I'm not going to be able to go tomorrow. And so I just, I kept speaking the word. I kept, trying to stay in peace. And then finally, when I went home, we were discussing it, and we're like, maybe I'll fly out. Maybe, I don't know. But I was like, I can't make a decision tonight, because my body was too, it was in trauma. I knew it. And so I just needed to lay down. And so in the morning when I woke up, I still had all the pain and everything, but I had clarity of mind a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm one of those that I'll climb a mountain even if my leg is off, And I'm like, I'm not going nowhere. And so we postponed a day, but the team came. They prepped everything. They actually laid me out, made a bed in the back of the truck so I could lay, because I couldn't sit. And as time went on, during the drive time, I did drive part of the way. I was talking to the Lord about this, and here's one of the things he told me. I was pulling with my left, which is your flesh. Left is flesh, spirit is right, if you know that language and dream. And my left side crushed my right side. And I'm like, okay, so totally have some issues with balance in my life, with work. And, trying to figure out. See, I was raised as a strong person. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. And, do you guys remember when I broke my rib moving a safe? Do you remember that story? Well, I never thought more about it because God healed it. But Holly said to me, she goes, and I was like, what? She goes, did you say normal people? Is that what you said?
I said it's not normal for a person to push a safe that's so heavy until something in their body breaks. Most people feel pain and resistance and go, oh, I'm hurting myself. I think I'll stop this now.
So she says that to me right in the middle of all this, like, throw some cold water on me, would you please? But it was truth. And that's the thing. We need truth even when we're feeling uncomfortable. And so often we say, oh, I'll tell them later, and then we never do. And then they struggle again, and something else happens. And so I didn't want to hear that truth. And first I was like, really? I really thought, really? Really? I mean, that's a weird concept. But I found out she was right, because I took it to the Lord. I had to ask the Lord, and I would have never asked him because I've been that way all my life. And what I'm saying is there's people in here who are doing the same thing over and over, believing God for certain things, and they're not getting it because they do what they've been doing all along. And then if somebody comes along and says, hey, maybe it's time to do this, then they get mad or run away or deny it. And I had all those options too, but I was like, ow, that hurt, but boy, that's truth. Once she said it, see, we have to believe that people really do have the best for us. I'm not talking the world. I'm talking our friends. I love good correction from my friends. I really do. And they correct me. They check me all the time. And most of the time I go, eh. But I do listen. It takes me 30 seconds to go, you're right, you're right, you're right. But it's important to have people that help hold you accountable, because we all want to finish we want to cross the line into paradise, and I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And by the way, why did you move that safe? I don't want to hear that, What were you thinking? I don't want to hear that, And so there's a lot happening in here, so I'm trying to build this story. And so, we sent out prayer requests, please pray, Lori hurt herself, blah, blah, blah. And people would say, how are you feeling? And I'd say, I'm believing for my miracle. And I was believing for supernatural healing. And the Lord corrected me. He said, you had your miracle. And I'm like, what? He goes, you're still alive. And I'm like, oh, okay, that was pretty serious. See, move the safe, don't think it's a big deal. You know, I don't even think that way. Cabinet falls on me, oh, okay, get up, you know, it's another day. That's bad thinking. That is, my brain needs to be reprogrammed. And so when he said that, that like stirred in me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so he's, you know, because think about it. Satan wants to sift us like wheat if he gets the opportunity. And he got the opportunity because of my stupidity of falling into this really good cabinet that was free, that now cost me $550 and a doctor bill, but at least I didn't have to have surgery. You know what I'm saying? So here's what happened from that. So I'm repentant, and I'm like, Lord, you got to help me with this stuff. See, when we're stuck and when we have delay, it's normal for frustration to come up, but we can't feed frustration with justification. We have to go, they're right, I'm wrong. I got a problem. Could you help me? Could somebody help me? Jesus, help me. And most of the time, if you say, Jesus, help me, he will help you. But sometimes we can't hear the soft little whisper because we're so full of emotional issues or justification that we are just like stuck. I've been stuck. I've been stuck in the mud. I've been stuck many times. And I know that frustration feeling. But I also know contend for the faith. Contend. Contend. Don't give in. Even though you feel like crap, even though you don't want to play anymore, even though you don't want to go to church, you don't want to pray, contend. Get up and keep praying in tongues. Tongues is a huge, 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 huge weapon. And I've gotten more breakthrough just by praying in tongues. It's a spiritual muscle that gets built up. You can't see it in the natural, but man, when you pray in tongues, the enemy knows it, and they're like, okay, she's back on her game. We'll leave her alone for a better opportune time. Well, that opportune time was that stupid cabinet. And so from there, I repented, and I'm like, Lord, you know, this isn't part of my covenant, and I am so sorry, and I want you to teach me and help me come into balance. And so I renounced some of my upbringing and did some exchanges with words, and I really feel like I had like a personality change, to be honest with you. And when that happened, now we're in Colorado, and I can't lift, I can't do nothing, I'm a pointer. And, you know, I made fun of pointers, so now I am one. I thought it was a dumb job, pointing. Let's just get it done, you know. I like the success, I like the feel of getting something done. But now I like the feel of planning and watching it get done and how God takes care of it. That's what I really like now. And so in my case, so, you know, I really thought I should take a zero gravity chair to Colorado, but we just couldn't fit it. And I'm like, Lord, could you just, could somebody just bring a zero gravity chair? And like, there's a zero gravity chair. The Lord told me to bring this chair for you. You know, so I was able to sit and lay in this chair, which was awesome, because I really couldn't sit. And I think by that first night, I was dancing already, wasn't I? Was it?
For sure by the second day.
Second day. Yeah. Yeah.
You were straighter. Yeah. Moving.
Yeah.
Before that, you were not. You couldn't even get up. Honestly, you couldn't get up off a chair.
Oh, that's right. You had to help me. I couldn't even go potty, you guys.
At night.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't move. I was like, I could not. There was like a hinge, like a stuck part, you know, that I couldn't go from laying to sitting to up. It just didn't work. It was missing. And, you know, so finally, you know, it happened. But I think I was healed in less than 5 days, for sure. It feels like that. And I remember dancing because it was just so awesome. And then the Lord said, okay, you've had enough. And instead of pushing through, I listened. And I didn't want to. I wanted to continue to worship him because he healed me. But he said, okay, that's enough. And see, obedience is important in all areas. And so I say all that to say, a lot. I am thankful for what happened to me. I really am, because I had one of the most amazing times with the Lord, and I went through this deep repentance, that was one of those moments when I was just alone in a bed in someone's house, just in between ministry, and I listened to this teaching. I don't even know who the guy was right now, but it was So profound. You know when God is trying to like seal the deal? You know, like you go through some deliverance and healing, but that's not enough. He wants to like put a bow on it and like hold you up and go, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is what happened. You know, so I go through this process and, you know, I've probably said it 100 times. You know, like when I fast, this is, you know, I'm never ever going to eat like that again. And Holly always goes, you always say that every time you fast. I'm off sugar now forever. And she says, Lori, you always say that. But I don't remember always saying it because it means right now this is true. And finally, the Lord did heal me of some issues with food. But this is what that was like, but only better. It was like I actually was laying in bed and I realized I had a wrong perspective of my eternal Father based on my natural Father and his work ethics, and there was a disconnect. There was just a disconnect, like when she said normal people don't move safes, when it starts to hurt you, stop. There was a disconnect. I didn't have the ability to see my Heavenly Father in this way that I saw him that day, what is that? It's pigeons in the... I'm like, okay. So what happened was I came into this place in my Father where I went in through this deep repentance of, I can't even give it English words, but through the whole thing, and it didn't happen in 5 minutes, let me just tell you that, I saw my identity in him, like my true identity and my true purpose. And everything else just kind of faded away. Now, it doesn't mean the work stops and all that, but I am now positioned in a place of authority in him as a daughter to the King of Kings who doesn't have to put on an apron and scrub the floors anymore. That, I'm not saying that's bad, but there's positions that the Father wants us to go to in him. And we can't go through them unless we go through him. And so when stuff comes up, take it as an opportunity to work on it with him, not hide it. And that's the big secret, is the enemy wants us to hide. Oh, we're in pain and we don't. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. Hey, I got hit by a thing and it knocked me out and I did a stupid thing. I'm here to tell you I did a stupid thing. How often do you hear somebody say, oh, that's a bad confession, but from that stupid thing, I learned this, or I came out in this way. And see, the enemy is the one who's trying to, I see it in here, a couple of people, you're struggling, and I see it. The enemy's trying to keep you bound and believe it, that it's your fault, it's never going to change. And listen, it's not your fault, and everything changes in him, but you got to go in him for the get to change. You can't, there's no shortcuts. And so I said a lot of that to say this. This is what I'm. What I feel like the Father is trying to get us to come to a place. You know, we talk about seasons in God. This isn't a season. It's not a season. It is where we're at in God. It's like the timeline is not there. It's like you can't measure this. It's a strange thing to say, but I'm going to try and read this. And hopefully you make some sense. I'm not doing a new thing. I am taking you into the... This is for all of you guys and me and everybody who hears this. I'm not doing a new thing. I'm taking you into the original place where my son Adam dwelled. He fellowshipped with me continually in my fullness. My fullness is here. The winds of prayer have opened the way. No more delay. Walk higher. Look higher, lean into me. Rule, walk, speak, my original authority. And then he gave me a key about the enemy. The enemy uses deception to snare your mind, will, and emotions. The way out of this is through declaration of my word. It dashes it to pieces. And as I've been praying on this, you know that scripture, it's in 1 Timothy 1:18, I think it is, where it talks about, you know, the prophecies over our life. You know, everybody in here has been given a prophecy over their life. And we're to wage war on the prophecies over our life. And what I mean by that is we need to contend. You know, in Timothy, it also talks about stir the fire, you know, that's inside you. And so often we get caught up with the plans of the earth, my retirement plan, my yard, my husband, my kids, that we no longer are contending and warring over the prophecies. And some of the prophecies over our lives, the delay is not God. The delay is that we're not waging war to get the breakthrough. And when I say war, I'm talking spiritual, you know, going after it with the, you know, the blueprint. You know, we've been given blueprints and we know the blueprints, but it's like, okay, now what? What do I do with this blueprint? We need to speak it, we need to declare it, and we need to move forward. We need to water it with prayer, praying in tongues, praying in English, and renewing our mind through the word over how those prophecies line up with our lives, you know, and it through scripture. Does that make sense so far? Go ahead, Mary. I'm going to read it to you. You want to read it?
Yeah, 1 Timothy 1:18.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Okay. So for an example, you've been prophesied over, Mary, that you are a seed waterer in the garden. Like, you water and tend to people in you know, throughout your community, and you come alongside of them and you raise them up in the faith. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and you're doing that to a degree. That's a prophecy that's been over your life, but there's more to it. God has more. And it's easy to settle in what you got, because what you got is good, but God's got more. And the enemy wants us to settle with what's good.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And so in my case, you know, I have been prophesied over signs, wonders, creative miracles, eyeballs popping out. I mean, popping in, or however you want to do it. And I've been waiting on God for that. And I'm like, oh, I just gave up. I'm like, whenever, Lord, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. I can't figure it out. But that's not right. You're supposed to wage war over those prophecies and declare and go after it and ask the Father, what's going on? What am I missing? How come this isn't happening? And he'll say, well, what about this? I'll be like, oh, you're right. You know, and so I work on it with him. And also, I have to believe for it. I have to start meditating on those prophecies, because when you meditate on them, your faith grows, and then, you know, it just happens. You know, you're setting it up in the spirit realm, because you see it, you're praying it, you see it, and then it releases or manifests in the natural realm. Does that make sense?
So other people have...
Everybody has been... There's a prophecy over every person in this room, and it's not all the same. You got something, Holly? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to add, if you haven't had a personal prophecy, the Bible says there's a more sure word of prophecy than anything a human could give you, and that's the word of God. So every promise that was made in that word, if you're born again, you own that.
Yeah.
It is legally yours. But Satan will try to tell you, oh, that's not, you know, God didn't mean that for you, just these other people. Well, no, that's a lie. To say that would be to call God a respecter of persons. Well, you know, God loves them, but not me. That's a lie. So you have to wage war against the lies that the enemy tries to feed you, because he's only trying to keep you in a box so you will not fulfill who you are and what you were born to do. And so those prophecies in the word, Peter said they were a more sure word. And if you read the context, he was talking about when they went up the Mount of Transfiguration and saw with their own eyes Jesus revealed in light and heard the Father's voice. And yet he said, but there's a more sure word of prophecy than that. That's like the encounter of all encounters. And yet Peter said the more sure word of prophecy is the scriptures. And that if we determine, to me it was a landmark decision that changed my whole life when I finally got it and said, I am making a decision to believe your word is true. It's true for me, and nobody's going to take that from me. And that changed my whole life forever.
You know, so the scripture in my case is, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You know, that's scripture. And I do that, but I'm going after the greater of the authority, his authority. He's backing it, you know. And I just, oh, if you're going to do it today, do it. You know, and I listen and pray. But that is a lazy way to live a Christian life. And I'm done with that. And that happened because a cabinet fell on me, to be honest with you, and the glory came. And so is everybody good so far? Any more questions? So Grand Junction, you know, we every conference we do, we have no agenda. We really don't. And we're like, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? And then you add, you know, the team ministry, and we're like, you know, we're all listening and trying to be led. And it's amazing when we all get the same thing. It's like, wahoo, you know. And so we'd have these prayer meetings and stuff, and, you know, we pretty much would get where we're going. But the night of, at the end, I mean, and Grand Junction is, you know, it is a flourishing spiritual bedrock there. I mean, things have shifted over the years, and we're excited to see how the Lord has done that. The Lord has done that. And it's because a few people cried out. And think about that. A few people, you cry out, and watch how the Lord brings in the workers or brings it to pass. And we don't know how he does it, but he just does. It's like a seed. You don't know, like a farmer, you just know. And so that last night when we were closing, you know, it's like we could go into a formula and say, okay, after this we do this. But we don't do that. But I was kind of like, testimonies, you know, I'm like, something's up here, we're not sure. So we did testimonies. And the testimonies were really awesome. I mean, I love the testimonies. And they just were phenomenal. And at the end, as the testimonies were going, you could feel in the atmosphere, well, the whole night, these rolling waves of his glory. You know, they were low, and then some of them were high. And you know, it's like, what do you do? Except for wait on him, because he's doing something. You know, and so that's what we do. And some people in the natural would be like, oh, there's silence, I'm uncomfortable. Are they going to do something? But they're carnal-minded at this point. But eventually, they click into the spirit realm, and they go, whoa, God's doing something here, you know? And so we try to steward what he's doing the best we can. And after the announcements, we couldn't dismiss. The waves just kept increasing. And a few people gave some prophecies that were just smoking right on. And we just kind of all sat in our chairs, and you could see that it was like the Lord was, he wasn't testing us, but he was like watching. Are they all going to get up and leave because it's over? And then nobody got up to leave, and man, what the Lord did next is, you cannot give it English words. It was like, oh my gosh, God is in the house, is glorious. It was just like, whoo, and you just want to go on your face, because what, you don't want to go like this. Are you in the presence? Is God touching you right now? It's kind of like, whoa, it's holy, it's holy, it's holy. He's here, he's here, he's here. Wow, this is real, this is real. And then, oh my God, I love you, I love you. You know, just whatever, because it's like, and then this peace of God fell on the place in such a way. And it's just, I mean, people got healed after the the conference. We stayed, and nobody left. People still received their healings. You know, can we share about that one, or is it? So, like, one of the partners in there, people in there, was having pancreatitis issues. What's that word?
Pancreas.
Yeah, her pancreas had stopped functioning years ago, and earlier God had spoken that somebody was getting a new organ.
Yeah.
But no one knew what it was, and so no one said anything, and then during this, when the wave started, she said her pancreas was fluttering. And her, which, you know, it was like gone before. It was just not functional at all. And so I reached out to her, and about a few days ago, she said her blood sugar has already gone down by half, and it's continuing. So
amen.
Another lady came up at the very end, like we'd already done all the testimonies and the healing testimonies, and a lady came up and said, both my shoulder and my knee are completely made new, like her knee had been just blown out and she was completely healed in both.
Yeah. We had this one lady testify. Oh my gosh. She's the quietest lady ever. She comes up and she was so in like God's presence. She was talking so fast. I couldn't understand a word she was saying. And to me, she was like a chicken that just kept, that's what it seemed like. And I was like, Lord, am I supposed to know what she's saying? He goes, just let her go, you know, and so I did. And then in the end, she goes, and I'm just a joy bubble or something like that. And that was the only words I heard out of her. But it was like, look at that, you know. And she was one of those really shy, you know, very hallelujah, you know. And God got her. God totally got her. And so it was amazing. And it was amazing. And so I'm telling you all this because that's just not Colorado. God is not only in Colorado. There is a move that he wants to do, and it has to do with setting the captives free, proclaiming liberty. And so I was thinking about it when we were worshiping tonight. You know, sometimes we get stuck in, okay, I always worship this way. One hand up, or, you know. I pay attention to the slow, still voice of the Holy Spirit, because if you obey, if he says, put your hands up, do it, because he's freeing us from the religious spirit. He's freeing us from what will people think, because listen, he's coming, he's here, and we need to be ready, because when the glory clouds come, first of all, nobody knows how to act normal. When it's, because there is no normal. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like 100% electricity of, you know, it's like when heaven touches earth. It really is. And it's like an explosion that happens. Freedom just happens in this. And we had rows of holy laughter, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, it was just like little pockets, you know, and it was just, when that happens, guess what's going on? People are getting healed, freed, delivered. Giftings, callings, the love of Father. Some people never ever laugh in their life, and they end up in a pocket where it's happening, and then they get free, and now they're the major laughters. You know, they laugh all the time, and they're lightning rods for laugh. You know, they catch it all the time in the spirit because they were capped by the limitations that man put on them. And so, don't reject what the Lord is doing, and don't think it's going to be the way it always is. Even here in these rooms, God is moving. And so, you know, he's been talking to me about the older days, you know, back in the days of the filling station, and, you know, we'd be praying, you know, on the floor till morning, and you know, I don't want to be too old and too tired for what God's doing. You know, I'm not letting the old man in. I am letting the Spirit renew me every day, and I'm asking that for you guys too. And so when you come through any doors, don't be thinking, what do they got tonight? Think, what are we doing tonight, Jesus? Holy, and then pray and believe for the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the salvations and the healings to take place. And I know some of you are like, well, my spouse doesn't want to come. Listen, when you leave, sometimes presence stays on you. And you end up going home with his presence. And I'm not going to say, but I'm just saying, okay? And it works. Okay, I'm just saying, without saying. So, I'm expecting great things, and I don't know what that means. Like, this is our last Wednesday night. You know, we're switching to Tuesdays. We'll be at Swinghurst for 2 months. We've signed our contract for 2 months, and we're just going to see. We don't know what the Lord is doing, but we're not doing stuff out of rote or mechanics or this is the way we always do it. So I'm expecting for you guys to be expecting great things with God. Amen? Amen. Any questions? Yes, Kimi. What?
I remember back in the filling station days, there were times when the Lord would come in and we would go, whoa, because we got hit by waves.
Yeah.
Was it like that?
Yeah, no. It was bigger, heavier, thicker. Yeah, those were awesome. Those were like lollipop licks. this was like you ate the whole sucker in one bite. You know, it was like, you know, I can't. No. But we didn't stand through those either. We rolled. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else? Callie, you got anything? What? You want some? Okay. You sure? Okay. I know. For which part? For contending?
Yeah.
So in my case, I was actually looking at blind eyes opening. I was watching like nothing come to something. And then I also saw tumors dissolve in bodies. And I also saw ears. I meditate on the ears. Like a big one for me is I can't stand ringing of the ears. And so I see the Lord just silence that. You know, I visualize that. And so that's just me. And, you know, God has given me a dream where I raised somebody from the dead. And so I haven't visualized that, but I had it in a dream. So I have that, and I pull that sometimes too. Yeah, amen. And that's normal. That's not, No, I'm going after what he promised me. And here's another one, provision. Provision. I'm believing for all the wells to open, you know, that God has for each one of us, you know. And because I want to see, I believe that we're going to see a turn. I mean, it's going to be crazy for a bit, but there's going to be a turn of stewardship. There already is, but I want to see more of it, of true prosperity in the kingdom way, without taint, if I could say that.